Over there. All right. It's great to see everyone here. Let's start off today with confession and absolution. I want to just start off with all of us knowing who we are, receiving our identity from God, which is you guys are forgiven. So if you open up your books to page D, let us stand, and if you can say the prayer of confession with me, let's say it all together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I have enjoyed the way Adam has been having all of you read, and again, he's been giving you all heads up. I like to call you out and force you to engage. So, I mean, I did go over to you to actually ask you, Dawn, to do this, but Psalm 98, if you could, it's a short one, read for us. Awesome, thank you. So, that was chapter 97. 98. But you did amazing, and it was so good. Thank you so much, Dawn. You really went out of your comfort zone. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Well, at first I was like, maybe I said the wrong thing. But you did great. All right, so we'll just go on to our next one, which is Romans chapter 8, 18 through 25. Kaylee. Chapter 8. Awesome. Thank you so much. Okay, so this next reading, I want to break it up into two parts. So Jana, if you can do 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Awesome. Good job. And Val, if you can read verse 6 through 16. 16. That's wrong. Thank you. Sends the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you work your word in us, that you allow us to hear from you and receive our identity from you, that we are forgiven, that we are righteous because you say we are righteous, that you apply the work of your Son to us. And Lord, all we can do is receive it. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for meeting us where we're at. I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, thank you for reading. Thank you for, even though I called you guys all out. And Dawn, the one you were supposed to read is about the joy of creation. Creation is singing the joy of the Lord and his praises. And then Kaylee has creation is groaning in anticipation for things to be remade. We have Jana, who read the part of the heavenly kingdom and how we interact with the heavenly kingdom. And then we have Val, who gets things done, talk about how we get things done here on the earth. So, within this, these readings, there is this beautiful complexity, this beautiful interaction between two realms, two kingdoms. And as human beings, we exist in two kingdoms at the same time. And this is something that we often get confused and we end up collapsing or we end up ignoring one for the sake of the other. And this is what Paul is addressing to the church in Thessalonica, because they're really good at focusing on one kingdom. He's like, I need you to remember that there's two. And as humans, we have to interact in two. And so the first one is the one that everyone here, because you're here in church today, you're really good at focusing at, which is the heavenly kingdom. So if we look at 2 Thessalonians verses 1 through 5, we see this kingdom and how it interacts and how we interact with it, how it works out. And Paul very clearly talks about this is how we interact on the heavenly realm. First of all, the heavenly kingdom is governed by the Word of God. This is easy, we all know this. The Word of God governs the heavenly kingdom. It speaks. It is created and ruled through God's Word to us. God also establishes it. He establishes us in His kingdom, and He protects us. Within this heavenly kingdom, God is the one who is acting. God says, "You are forgiven." And for us, all we do is receive that forgiveness and say, okay, in this heavenly kingdom, we are passive. We receive God's forgiveness. We receive His righteousness. He protects us. He establishes us. He identifies us and tells us who we are. And this is something that most of us are pretty, like, solid. Most of you in this room are pretty solid on this one. Heavenly minded. We understand our identity and our purpose and our meaning come from God. But it doesn't end there. And so Paul, in the next verses, jumps in to the second kingdom because he has to remind us, hey, you still live on earth. And so the thing that's happening in Thessalonica is something that's still happening today, especially in American culture, and I see it in you guys. And I'm calling you out because I also see it in me. And so this is a good thing for us to remember and be refocused on and remade. What's happening in the Church of the Thessalonians is that they're so heavenly minded, they stop being of any earthly good. They're so focused on spiritual things, they don't care about the earthly things. Like, the people in this church literally stopped working, which is not where any of you guys are at, fortunately. But it plays out. This is how it plays out, though. Because we kind of have this narrative in our head that, man, if I could just spend almost all my time praying and reading the Bible, I would be better off. I would just be a better person. Things would just be better. And that's like the ideal, that this Christian ideal that just kind of hangs over us. And it's especially over us in America, is if I could just pray all the time. But basically, you're asking to be a monk, to isolate yourself off to the world and only focus on spiritual things. And Paul's saying, stop that. We're pumping the brakes on that. We're not going to do that. You cannot be idle. That's not what God created you for. You live in two realms. We can't just focus on one. I need you to do something here. I need you to love your neighbor. I need you to care for the earth. And then as good Christians, we start going, okay, so if I just evangelize more, and if I serve people more, then you'll really love me, God, right? Like I can start earning some more points, some spiritual points. And God's like, no, that's trap number two. Stop. Because in our guilt, all of a sudden, we hear God say, hey, you need to love one another. And in our guilt, we start going, okay, I got to prove to God why I'm worth saving. So now I'm going to use material things. I'm going to use people for spiritual gain. I'm going to serve others. I'm going to tell them out of the gospel, not out of love, but out of guilt. Because I want to show God why I was worth saving. Let me go out there, and I'm going to love all these people. I'm going to serve all these people. God, do you love me now? Am I doing good? Tell me I'm doing good. Give me an A. Tell me there's going to be a bigger reward for me in heaven. That's what I want. God's saying, no, stop. Stop. That's not why I created you. That's not why I forgave you. Because when we're working out of that realm, when we're starting to try to figure out how to use people to get in good with God, we're not receiving God's forgiveness. God said, I forgave you. You've received my mark in baptism. You've partaken of the body and blood of my son. You're forgiven. I don't need your good works. I already got those good works from Jesus, and they're enough. God doesn't need your good works. Your neighbor does. The earth needs your good works. We live in two kingdoms. We receive our identity from heaven so then we can go out and love the earth. How were we created? From the dust of the earth and the breath of God. Thank you. A plus. We were created from the dust of the earth and the breath of God. Spirit and flesh combined. Heaven and earth touch in us. Two things were lost at the fall. Our identity from God. The spirit and image of God was lost, corrupted. And then the earth lost its proper caretakers. The earth lost its humanity. We were created from the dust of the earth. We were created as faces of the ground to represent the earth, to care for it, to serve it, to love it, to enjoy it, to create in it. And then Adam just handed that responsibility over to who? Satan. And is Satan flesh and blood? He's a spirit. That's not who God created to care for the earth. The earth is groaning for the revelation of the children of God, for its proper caretakers. It is looking forward to the restoration of humanity, because what the world needs right now is more humanity. which instantly runs against everything we're being told and taught all the time. The media is screaming, the world needs less humanity. Humanity is the problem. I mean, broken humanity is the problem. But when the Spirit of God breathes life back into us, restores our relationship to God, it allows us to now go out and give glimpses of how things were supposed to be. We can now go out and give people a tangible, temporary experience of how the kingdom was meant to be. We're supposed to love one another and care for the earth. And this is what Paul's saying. He's like, don't check out. Don't become so spiritually minded that you're no longer caring for this place. Salvation isn't an escape plan. It's a plan of engagement. You're all thinking, I can't wait to get out of this place. He's like, no, that's not what I'm doing here. I'm trying to remake this place. I'm going to recreate this place. And I want you guys to be connected to this. I'm not removing you from the earth. I'm going to put you back in it. And you can engage that now. You can be glimmers of light now. When you go out and our whole idea of evangelism, we love to hinge on the question of, do you know where you're going to go when you die tonight? But do you know how unhelpful and incomplete that story is?
Sorry, you said when you die tonight, which sounds like a
threat. Well, they usually put it that way. If you die tonight. Well, when you die tonight. When you die, well, buckle up. Make sure the safety belt's on. Thank you. That's an incomplete question. The story of being faceless spirits in heaven is not an exciting story. It's a very boring, disengaging story. The more complete story and the story that has more attraction is, what if you could live in a world forever, a perfect world forever, where you're free to create, free to explore, free to love and laugh and play and build? What if you could do that forever? Is that something you want to do? Where you could swim with the animals, swim with Shamu without any fear. You can explore the world without any danger. You know who you are. You know what you want to do. You know where you're going. That's a better story. And we can begin to show people that story as we care for them. So we are being freed up by God. He's saying, I forgive you. I forgive you. So don't worry about this relationship. You're forgiven. Start worrying about these relationships. Start thinking about, what can I do today to enhance someone's experience of life? Because the world's broken. But how can I start thinking, how can I make someone else's life a little better today? How can I give them a taste of the new creation, the thing that we long for? How can I do that? And that's what Paul's saying. Stay engaged. Don't give up. Don't walk away from this. And I love it because we immediately are like, wait, so if I don't do this perfectly, I'm not good with God? And Paul's like, no, stop. Okay, don't think like that. It's still focusing too much on the spiritual stuff. You don't do anything for God. God does everything for you. You do things for each other. So when someone isn't doing everything they could, when someone is being idle, they're just earthly consequences. He says, you know, stop hanging out with them. Allow them to experience a little bit of shame. But not as an enemy, as a brother, because they're still part of the family. It's okay. Work it out with each other. Figure out how to do it. I gave you imaginations. I gave you reason. Figure it out. This is what God is calling us into. We're created to love one another. Now, you guys are doing this. I do want to encourage you. I don't want to just throw a bunch of law on you and walk out and be like, all right, good luck. But you guys are doing this. I want to encourage you in this. Two weekends ago, last Saturday, we had our Matthew Hope dinner party, which Matthew's Hope is an organization that helps rehabilitate homeless people. And it's something that, as a church, we support. And so only so many people were able to go to this dinner party, but I just want you guys to know that your tithes helped support Matthew's Hope. And what I love about this organization is not because it's a Christian ministry or organization, but because they are rehumanizing people. They're taking people who were aimless, faceless wanderers, and they're giving them tangible experiences, giving them good skills to become valued and to add value to society. They become inheritors of this land. They become known. So at this party, they sell all this awesome woodworking stuff because they've built this woodwork shop. And they teach the ones who want to be rehabilitated, who want to get into the system, they teach them how to work and build stuff and create beautiful things that people would love and enjoy. And each year, the things that they sell are better and better and better. And this year, they had these beautiful kitchen tables, these beautiful wood, handcrafted tables. Three of these tables were purchased. Two of them were from our group. Gallus's and the Niederheiser's. Way to go, you guys. But this is what I loved, is they, by doing this, by getting these tables, they recognize this is beautiful. This is a work of art. This is something I need and is useful to me. And it's creating value for these people who previously did not have value. They're saying, I see the value in you. I'm restoring your dignity and humanity. Thank you for making this. And now I'm going to take this, put it in my house, and we're going to gather around it with friends and family. We're going to have meals around it. We're going to play games and have conversations. We're going to live life around this beautiful thing that you have created. Thank you. So you guys are doing this, and my encouragement to you is continue to think like this. Continue to press in and go, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for canceling my debts. Thank you for allowing me to not have to continually worry about my relationship with you. Continue to sustain me with your word and free me up now to go out and creatively think, how can I love my neighbors, how can I love the earth? Because we're citizens of heaven and caretakers of this earth. That's who we are as humans. That's what God is doing through us. He's restoring our humanity and making us complete. We're spiritual and material. We can't just focus on one or the other. There's both. And the spiritual tells us you were made to care for these material things, and that is good. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for breathing your Spirit back into us, for restoring the spiritual parts of our humanity, and through that, renewing the face of the ground. Lord, I ask that you continue to move us into being representatives for the earth instead of consumers of the earth. That we can care and love your creation because that's what you made us to do. That we can actually love one another, not to earn points with you, but because our neighbors need our help. And then, Lord, we ask and look forward to your recreation of everything. That we look forward into the future with hope, that things will be better, that you will create something perfect and beautiful and wonderful that we can live in. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. We receive your love and the steadfastness of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as a way to continue to engage material things, to continue to support the ministry that God has led us into, and to continue to support organizations like Matthew's Hope, God has led us into practices and said, hey, tithe. I've given you material things. I've freed you up to now be a generous person, to be the person I've called you to be. And so we are going to have some plates passed around, and if you feel led, you are free to give. You can give online. I know a bunch of you guys have recurring payments online, and I thank you for that. And I encourage you guys. Say, that's good. Because you are thinking about this place. You're thinking about what God's called you into, the earth, and how to care for it. As we pass the plates, we also have a prayer board in the back. And so if you feel you have things you want to ask God, offer up prayer requests, you can put them on the little magnet board on the back. There's slips of paper in the back there, too. So now we engage in a spiritual and earthly thing here. This is what makes Jesus so awesome. God and man. This is bread and wine, but through the word of God, it's also the body and blood of Christ. And through this, we receive our spiritual identity, as sons of God, as children of God, to then go out and be caretakers of the earth. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and after giving thanks for it, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat of it." Likewise, he poured the wine and said, "This is my blood, poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of it." Lord, I ask that you anchor us to our identity through you, that we can receive who we are from you. And through that identity, we can then be empowered by your Spirit to go and serve and love one another. Thank you for meeting us where we're at, through tangible and physical and spiritual means. In Jesus' name, amen. As you come up, you can take a piece of the bread, and then wine is on the outer ring, grape juice is in the inner. You can come up to either Adam and I after the band comes up. Body of Christ.
Jesus says, "As often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim his death and his coming again." And then, when you read the account in the Gospels, after they did the Lord's Supper together, it said they would sing a hymn together. They would sing together before going out. So let's sing one more. Number 17.
Be seated. Receive the blessing. Yahweh will kneel before you, presenting gifts, and will guard you with a hedge of protection. Yahweh will illuminate the wholeness of his being toward you, bringing order, and he will beautify you. Yahweh will lift up his wholeness of being and look upon you, and he will set in place all you need to be whole and complete. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.